Ryan.
Good
I'm
morning.
Steph. I'm a member of Celebrate Recovery.
And I'm Josh, member of Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery, 8 recovery principles.
I realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable.
Happy are those who know that they are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3.
Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover.
Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4.
Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control.
Happy are the meek. Matthew 5:5.
Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust.
Happy are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8.
Voluntarily submit to any and all changes God wants to make in my life, and humbly ask him to remove my character defects.
Happy are those who greatest desire is to do what God requires. Matthew 5:6.
Evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me and make amends for harm I've done to others when possible, except when to do so would harm them or others.
Happy are their merciful. Matthew 5:7. Happy are the peacemakers. Matthew 5:9.
Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life and to gain the power to follow his will. Yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by example and by my words.
Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Matthew 5:10.
And the first step, sorry. Principle one says, realize that I'm not God, that I am powerless to control my tendencies to do wrong, and that my life is unmanageable. Matthew 5:3 says, happy are those who are spiritually poor. And step one is we admitted we are powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives have become unmanageable. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. So that's kind of, it's the first step in recovery, pretty much admitting that we are not in control of the things that we do, and that we need to give our power and our will over to God. So there's a couple of questions just to kind of start out today to consider. One question is, am I going to let my past failures prevent me from allowing God to make me the person that he wants me to be? There's a lot that goes into that, and we'll break those down in a minute. But also, second question, am I afraid of change? There's a lot of us that are afraid of change. I am blessed to be one that I like change. Ask my husband. My husband hates change, and I change everything in the house all the time, and he hates it. But also, you know, are there fears of the future? Are you scared of what the future holds for you? And these are things that God wants you to give over to him. He wants you to know that he's got you and that he knows what he has for you. So if we kind of break down failures from the past, we look at Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that allows us, easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance with endurance the race God has set before us. So there's a couple of points that come from that. God has a unique plan for each one of us. None of our plans look like each other's, and that's an amazing thing. When I grew up, this was so far from what I thought I would be doing today. But allowing God to work in my life and allowing God to take control over things has allowed me to start to be the person that God wants me to be. And allowing Him to, you know, Carrie Underwood, take the wheel, has allowed me to let go of a lot of things that used to define me in my past. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. And I guarantee you that it's not full of addictions or dependencies or worry or any of those things. Second point after the Hebrews 12:1, we need to be willing to get rid of our baggage. I used to hold on to everything, all my bitterness, all my anger, all my hurts, pains, bad relationships, all of those things. I carried it with me. And until I got to the point where I could let go of my baggage, then I was able to start moving through it. I needed to realize that I needed to stop beating myself up with guilt and shame and allow Jesus to heal me in a way that no one could. A man couldn't do it. No one can do it, you know. Coworkers, friends, nobody can heal you the way that Jesus will heal you. I needed to realize that I was forgivable. I needed to learn that God forgives. God's forgiveness is the easy part. It's forgiving ourselves for the bad things that we've done in our life. And allowing Jesus to take our baggage will give you the true freedom of letting go of your old self and being who you are in Christ. So I believe, and I know, there are many people here that struggle today with forgiving yourselves. And Celebrate Recovery is a group of people that are ready to go in and admit that we've messed up, we've made mistakes, we've been bad people, we've done bad things, but I need help and I need support. And Celebrate Recovery is a group that, to be honest, only about a third of the people that attend in a normal Celebrate Recovery suffer from alcoholism or drug dependency. Most of them have a bunch of different ailments and things that they go through. They struggle with abusive relationships, self-worth issues, financial problems, codependency, a lot of things. And so Celebrate Recovery is just a group that you can go to and get support. It's not a fix-it group, but it's a support group to help each other walk through the steps and the principles that Jesus has for us. So as we look, Apostle Paul had a lot of regret in his life. But in Philippians 3:13, he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Which means to me is that if you truly want to be free from your past hurts, hang-ups, and habits, then you need to allow Him to work. You need to allow Him to dig up all the dirt that you have and get to the bottom of what is continuing to make you into this cycle of abuse or addiction or any of those things. Isaiah 43:18 says, is talking about the Lord's promise of victory. It says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am doing, going to do to you." Which means God has that plan for you, a unique plan. And sometimes we need to get rid of our baggage for God to work in our lives. So Second question I had was, are you fear of the future? Are you scared of what's to come? Are you scared of what it looks like when you do start to change, when you are not that same person anymore? Hebrews 13:6 says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And there's a lot of us that struggle with that. We feel people's words, people's actions, and those sorts of things can harm us. But when we are focused strictly on Jesus and his plan for us, we don't need to worry about that because God's got it. I used to hold a lot of things, like I told you, a lot of grudges, a lot of anger. I was a very unpleasant person. And as I started to realize that that's not the person that God wanted me to be, granted, he was very sneaky about that, but he slowly started to soften my heart and started to allow me to speak my truth. And my truth was a lot of pain and a lot of anger and bitterness and all of those. But once you start to verbalize those things and once you start to come to terms that you have them, we all have them, he will start to help and take those things away from you. He will start to heal your heart. I am not the same, and I've said this before, but I am not the same person I was 15 years ago. I don't think any of you would have recognized me 15 years ago. I would not be wearing a fanny pack like I am today. Change. But I am not that same person. You know, if somebody made me angry, I would be absolutely in their face. I would be probably violent. But now I don't have to be that way. Now I've got God on my side, and I believe that if I know that I am doing his work and have his words in my heart, I know that I can't do the wrong thing. Looking and going through our past can be extremely painful. And a lot of times we resist change because we are scared of what that can look like. We are scared of opening ourselves up to people because we feel like we're the only ones that have had this issue. We were the only ones that have done these terrible things when we're not. And as you work through the steps and as you get to know yourself again and get to know Jesus, you learn that you aren't alone and that God will take it all away from you. And slowly and surely, God will soften you and change your mind. When we start looking at the principles, 1 John 4:18 says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. You guys are not here by mistake today. I may be, but you are not. Jury's still out on that. So, but today I pray that you guys start to look within yourselves and you realize that I do have things that still hurt. I do have things that I can't talk about. I do have things that when it's brought up, I just avoid the conversation, or I tear up, or I shut down, or I get pissed off and I leave. Those are all areas and ways that we use denial to cope with our life. Denial is defined as a false sense of beliefs that are not based on reality and a self-protecting behavior that keeps us from honestly facing the truth. I love denial. I'm not even gonna lie, I love it. I used to live in it, and I was great in denial. I didn't realize or come to the truth that I was having twins until they made me leave with two babies. And then I'm like, oh gosh, how did that happen? It's not what we planned. So I am very good at ignoring the truth, especially with the truth that when it involves me and my feelings and my life. And it's actually, as children, it's a coping mechanism that we develop to deal with past hurts, past pain, bad situations that we've had. We live in denial. We ignore the truth, and we make this beautiful picture of what life should be, what life I am living, but it's actually absolutely not true. I personally, like I said, love to hide behind it, and I know a lot of us do. A lot of us have some hurts, hang-ups, habits that we all struggle with that we are not ready to admit. I'm not going to make you raise your hand and tell me what you're in denial of today, but if any of these kind of questions come up, then unfortunately you are in denial of something, okay? I don't want to talk about it. I eat because I'm so mad. I'm eating my feelings. Why do you keep bringing that up? All of these questions, I don't have to drink every day. I work hard, I might as well have a beer or two after work. You know, I'm not overeating, so I'm gonna go shopping, or I'm not having a beer, or not having shotta, tequila was my favorite. But I'm gonna spend money on, I'm gonna go shopping. Shopping can be an addiction. You know, it's a way to keep yourself in denial of things. So if you are dealing with any of these questions, and there's more questions, you know, if I tell her that it hurts when she says that, I'm afraid that she will leave me. There are so many different things that people say and they do, and that is what denial looks like. So as we go through, what does denial do in your life? Denial, D, disables your feelings. Holding your feelings, living in denial, freezes our emotions and binds us. Understanding that feeling is where we find freedom, denying the truth allows our feelings to shut down. I used medications, I used alcohol, I used drugs to cover my feelings, to cover the things that I didn't want to feel. I have dealt with majority of things. I would rather be the one that got drunk and was dancing on the bar top, because that's the fun Marianne, that's the one that has no problems, that's the one that isn't struggling with things. But then you have to go home and you have to sober up. And when you sober up, you figure out it's not a very good place to be. So denial can help us stay and disable our feelings. 2 Peter 2:19 says, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption, for you are a slave to whatever controls you. So what I ask you today, what's conquering you? What are you avoiding? What can't you talk about? That's denial. Energy. So E, energy lost. There's a lot of energy lost living in denial, covering up the secret. Lying about things. Major side effect of denial is anxiety. Anxiety causes us to waste a lot of energy on unnecessary things. Past failures, it doesn't allow you to be excited for the future because you're in denial of what your present looks like. So as you go through the program, you learn that you learn that the only way to be present is to get through denial. And as you worry about the past and dreading the future, it makes us extremely tired. You forget that you told this person one thing and then you told this person this thing. Well, now they're talking and now they're gonna figure that out. That's not good. So denial is not good. And energy lost and the amount of energy you spend to try to keep your story straight is exhausting. And if you would, my parents always said, yeah, if you would just put the effort you did into this thing, into your homework, you'd be an A student. No, thank you. That's just not who I am. I was never an A student. No, sorry, Bridget, never an A student. Not gonna lie. All right. So always worrying about who's gonna find out, what they think of me, is very tiring. And as you start to step out of denial, you are starting to realize that being in the truth and being in God's truth gives you so much more freedom in time and energy and all of those things. And being in the truth, you don't have to worry about, well, what did I tell Jeff? What did I tell Bridget? I have no idea. So those are good things. Let our fear and worries, we let our fears and worries paralyze us. But only the only lasting way that we can have freedom from it is by stopping, by denying or stop being in denial of being in denial. Something like that. Sorry, Bridget. So Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything without we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. If and when we transfer the energy required to maintain our denial into learning God's truth, a healthy love for others and a healthy love for God will occur. As you depend more and more on your higher power, Jesus Christ, you will see the light of the truth and more reality. So, as we're moving through denial, denial negates growth. In recovery, there's a popular saying, you're only as sick as your sickness. Secrets. It's supposed to be secrets. Sorry. It's very common, and that's true. You're only as sick as your secrets. As you hide and as you isolate, as you go into yourself, you are not allowing yourself to grow. We cannot grow until we are ready to step out of denial and into the truth. God is waiting for us to do that. When I first found Jesus, it was literally, they had a picture of Jesus knocking on a door, and that's literally what he was doing, and that's what brought me out, the start at least. Psalms 107, 13, 14 says, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from their darkness and their deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. As you travel the road to recovery, you will come to understand that God never wastes a hurt. He never will waste your darkest day, but he also cannot use your darkest day without you admitting that it is your darkest day. He will not use my pain to help other people unless I step out and admit that I have pain. I can't help women that have been molested and abused and have no self-worth unless I admit that I struggle with that. And I struggled with that for a long part of my life. And I'm able to step out of that. And now I'm able to reach women who feel like they're unforgettable, that they're worthless, that they deserve the man who treats them like crap. They don't. And God doesn't want you to stay in that. And staying in denial does not allow you to get out of that cycle. I will say that I personally feel like I'm a very good example of God's healing power. He has completely changed my heart into trying to help and serve other people when most of my life it was survival mode. And now it's I get to flourish and I get to help other people, and it's amazing. Sorry. So not only does it negate growth, but it also isolates us from God. And we look at the story of Adam and Eve, how denial can isolate. You guys all probably know that story. Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree. What would you do? You would go eat from that tree. I would have, not gonna lie. I think any one of us, just because of our sinful nature, would have gone and ate from that tree. And we'd all be sitting here right now. So first of all, he tried to rationalize, saying, well, it was the woman you gave me, God, that caused me to fall. And when that didn't go over very well with God, he's like, well, but she gave it to me. So then he played the blame game. And I don't know about you, but I played the blame game a lot. She caused me to do this. She made me punch her in the face. Wasn't my fault. My hand slipped. All of those things. That's what we do. That's part of being in denial. Denial is not admitting that we are in the wrong of it. Genesis 3:12 says, but when he couldn't rationalize, he started blaming her. Yes, okay, sorry, never mind. Remember, God's light shines the truth. Our denial keeps us in the dark. God's light is there, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we are saying that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other in the blood of Jesus. His Son cleanses us from all sin. And that's 1 John 1. It is allowing us, and that is flat out telling, if you believe that the Bible is truth and is real, then you have to believe that. And I'll tell you, I didn't believe a lot of these things. I didn't believe that he could let go of my sin. I didn't believe that I could let go of the things that I did. But reading the Bible and reading my book, even before I believed it, I believed this was true. And if this is true, I faked it till I made it true in my life. Now, I didn't believe that his love was strong enough to get through to me, but it was. And I didn't believe that I deserved it, and I didn't believe any of those things, but I believed this was the truth. And through that, my life was changed. Not only does it isolate us from God, but it also isolates us from other relationships that we have. Denial tells us that we're getting away with something. We think nobody knows. In fact, they probably do. I was never very sneaky. I mean, I kind of was, but I really wasn't. We are so scared to show who we really are for fear of rejection or judgment that we distance ourselves from people. A lot of times when I know that I'm going to be doing something bad, I don't call my friends over to hang out with me. I usually do it by myself. All by myself. And that's what I would do when I would cut. I obviously wouldn't have a cutting party. You would do it by yourself. You are isolating yourself from everyone because you don't want anyone to see that darkness in you. Ephesians 4:25 says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And that kind of goes back. We're all family. It's an ugly family, but we are all family. And, you know, whether you get along with your blood family or you don't, we are all family. We are all in this together. God does not want us to do anything or any of this alone. He wants us to be together. He wants us to raise him up in the words that we say. And he wants us to come to church. He wants us to be in fellowship with each other and to, as messy as it is, go through life together, because we are stronger together and as a family than we are by ourselves. By ourselves, we get into trouble. Finally, the L of denial, it lengthens our pain. We have a false belief that denial protects us from our pain. As I've said, continue to hide with anger and keeping people away from me. Didn't understand why my pain wouldn't go away. You know, they say time heals all things. But the kicker with that is that you have to admit that you have it. Because if you don't admit what you need to go through and what you're dealing with, time hasn't started. Your stopwatch doesn't start until you've admitted your problem or admitted your hurt or your addiction or your whatever it is, okay? And then time will allow healing to happen. Denial allows hurt, hang-ups, and habits to fester, grows and festers into many other ways of coping mechanisms. As drugs, alcohol, inappropriate relationships, abusive relationships, all of those things. It just lengthens the pain. It doesn't allow us to feel. When you start to feel for the first time, it's very hard. And I'll tell you, I work with women that are 50 years old that have not dealt with feelings ever. And they don't know how to feel. They don't know how to cry because they've never had to, because they've always covered it up with something else. Not only does it extend our hurt, but it also multiplies the problems. Because now I'm not just dealing with abusive relationships. Now I'm dealing with, I have a problem with alcohol. I have a problem with pills. I have a problem with this, that, and the other thing. Truth, just like surgery, it's going to hurt, and it's going to take a while, but it can cure. God's love and you stepping out of denial and you working the steps to recovery for whatever hurt, hang-up, or habit that you have, it can cure you. Jesus has cured me of most things. There's still some things I'm working on. But he promises that I will give you back your health and I will heal your wounds in Jeremiah 30:17. And I take that to heart. He will give me back my health. He will heal my wounds. And I felt that my wounds were too deep for anybody, too deep for anyone to even know about. So kind of my bottom line today is that I encourage you to step out of denial. Step out of whatever false reality that you are living in. If you struggle with some of the questions that I said before, as in, I don't want to talk about it. I can't hear about it. I don't want to talk about that person. I can't deal with that right now. I only drink after work. I don't drink before work. I only drink on the weekends. If you tell yourself these lies, you will continue to live in those lies. And as you step out of denial is when you can start to heal. I will encourage that if you do struggle with any questions about any of those questions, to check out Celebrate Recovery. We're a bunch of misfits, not gonna lie, we are. A bunch of old troublemaking misfits that were getting too old to cause too much trouble, so. But we are a group of people that have a commitment to come every week, and we are honest and we are true with each other, and it's not pretty, and it's not supposed to be pretty. But I'll tell you the things that I'm seeing through it, and God working in that group, it's amazing. And we've got a group that love each other, that if we would see each other stumble, they would be there for me. And I know that. So closing up, all I want to say, Thursday nights from 6:30 to 8, we meet in the classroom over here. Everyone is welcome. I would love to have this kind of service every week, where we would get into worship, where we would have a lesson about denial or following the steps. And it would allow us to help a lot of people on campus and open the door to true relationships and where you don't have to put a mask on. A lot of people put a mask on before they come. You don't have to. Just ask me. I'm pretty messy. I'm a messy person. So anyway, let's pray. Sorry. Lord, we thank you for your truth, and we thank you that you allow us to come to you with all things and to get true healing from you. And I just ask that as people are here today that they examine and then they ask themselves the questions, what am I avoiding? What am I ignoring? What areas in my life do I hurt? Lord, I ask that you overwhelm them and allow them to know that Celebrate Recovery is a group of people that want to help and want to walk alongside them and allow them to get true healing and get to know you better, Lord, and your truth. Lord, I thank you for everyone here and everyone online. I just pray that you you overwhelm them today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're going to say the Serenity Prayer, which is pretty standard for Celebrate Recovery. And you guys are welcome to say it with us. Is it up on the screen? No? Okay. A lot of people know it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen.
There was a time in my past that I made a lot of poor decisions in my life. A couple years ago, I decided to make some changes, and I had to make some different choices, and to get better, I learned that recovery takes maintenance. 2 years ago, I would not be sitting here. I used to not be able to come out of my room. I used to not be able to sit in a group of people, more than three or four people in the group, without really having my anxiety just go crazy and make me leave. Recovery for me helps me maintain that balance. I kind of regain that balance each time I come to recovery for me. And it's made a lot of better things for me in my life.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I struggle with the addiction to alcohol. What CR means to me, it's a safe place to share. It's a place to grow with others and improve my own relationship with our Lord. It's given me a better sense of God's will and forgiveness. I've gotten a great deal of support in my sobriety and been able to support others. And on September 12th, I will have a year of sobriety.
Hi, my name is Sherry, and I just wanted to show my 10-month coin that I got from Celebrate Recovery tonight. I have been living here on campus since June, and every Thursday night I come to Celebrate Recovery, and it's just an amazing thing with amazing people. They kind of help me, just stay focused and just to remind me what's good about sobriety and faith and just trying to live a good life. And I just can't say enough about the good people that I'm really getting to build relationships with, and I'm very proud of my chip, so thank you.
Celebrate Recovery has kept me accountable the last few years of my recovery journey. It has strengthened my relationship with the Lord. And it's given me something to look forward to each week. It's kept me honest and open-minded and willing and loving. And it's really given me a place to come to that I feel accepted and that I can be vulnerable.
CR has provided me with a good foundation, spiritual foundation that has been a lifesaver in my life. I believe CR has given me the tools to maintain a better lifestyle, a spiritual lifestyle that has, blessed not only me, but my fiance too as well. I see things for what they are, like blessings. And I never really saw, anything as a blessing.
like my whole mindset has changed to, you know, I get to wake up and go to work. I get to do these things. I get to go to, you know, celebrate recovery, be around good people, be around people that I care for, the people that care for me. It's a wonderful feeling to be loved by others and to be able to honestly love others. And it's basically been through recovery and CR, and just the spiritual growth has been a blessing for me in all my relationships. And the foundation, I would say, it would probably be CR that gave me that good spiritual foundation. And every week I get to learn and grow and just, you know, get a little bit better each day.
Celebrate Recovery is and has been a part of my life now for going on almost 2 years. And we are a support group that gets together and we're raw and real with each other. And we work through individually kind of our issues, and we're just there to support each other. I think it's a group that loves each other and is very supportive of each other.
That was fantastic, wasn't it? Our practice at Bear Creek is to celebrate the Lord's Supper together each week. And so right now, we will have, do you have communion cups there you can pass out, Bridget? Raise your hand if you don't have a piece of bread and a juice. I always forget to whenever I'm up here. But if you're a believer in Jesus, we would love for you to join us in celebrating the Lord's Supper today. Just raise your hand. Bridget is coming around. Yeah, thanks. All right. Just a quick little thought for you. So many good things said today. I knew the theme was denial today, and so another aspect of denying is how we can deny God, right? And I love this proverb. In Proverbs 30... here's what the writer says. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. So number one, remove far from me falsehood and lying, right? Make me a truthful person, he prays. And the second one is really interesting. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Did you hear that? Don't give me poverty. And don't give me riches. And here's why, he goes on to say. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. So give me what I need. Lest I be full, right? If I have too much, and I deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or the other end of the spectrum. Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So I want to be a truthful person, he says. And give me just enough, right? That's the goal. The goal in life is to have enough, right? Not to be rich, which is the dream of many people, my son included, who's 6 years old. Whenever we talk about something, he's going to get something and work and save and whatever, and it's good to work hard and good to save. But our goal is not to be rich, right? Because when we have so much, we can deny God. We can deny that we need a Savior. I think it's pretty obvious, right? Look around us. It's very easy when we have so much to forget about God and, in a sense, deny him. I was fishing yesterday with Isaiah and Anya. So Isaiah 6, and he has no lack of confidence. We caught one fish, of course, and it was the fish that he caught. He said, Dad, I'm so good at fishing. I caught a fish, and it swallowed the hook. That is how good a fisherman he is. You know, but we can get overconfident, can't we, in a lot of things in life. And what this does here, it puts things back in perspective. Because it reminds us that everything we have, right, is dependent on Jesus. And so today, take out the wafer. And we will remember, as we eat this together, that Jesus gave his body for us. After supper, Jesus took a cup, and he wanted to remind the believers, his disciples, that this was to represent his blood that was poured out for them.